Welcome back to Words of the Wise. Today we're back with another episode re-released that originally aired 3 years ago, an interview I did with Marilyn Kohler. At the time, Marilyn was already such a steady person for me at DePauw. And now, in this new season of my life working here too, I feel so grateful that I get to see her more often. Marilyn is with the Media Fellows Program, and if you know her, you know she radiates calm, kindness, and curiosity in everything she does. In this conversation, Marilyn opens up about her childhood in the mountains of Pennsylvania, her winding career path from photography to law enforcement training to higher education, and the lessons she's carried along the way. She reminds us that life doesn't always unfold according to plan, but often in even more surprising and beautiful ways. So without further ado, here's the re-release of my conversation with Marilyn Kohler.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Kohler, and I am 65 years old.
All right, so we're going to start off by talking a little bit about your childhood. So first off, what were your parents like?
My parents were a little bit older than some of my friends' parents. My mother was from Southwest Virginia, and my dad was a coal miner. And they met while he was working at a coal mine in Virginia. They were quiet people with a lot of strength. And they were just, I would say they were solid.
Mm-hmm. I like that term. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in eastern Pennsylvania, in the mountains, coal regions. So it was a rural area about 3 miles from the closest town. And so I look back and think that was the perfect place to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
The closest town was Ashland, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. And so what did the typical day in your childhood look like?
A typical day was playing with my friends and running around in the mountains, playing in the streams. Sometimes we'd be playing with, when I was younger, sometimes we'd be playing with Barbie dolls, and sometimes we'd be playing with matchbox trucks, and other times we would just be wandering through the water and getting wet and getting muddy and just playing out in nature.
Yeah, that's what I feel like, that's the answer to most of that question when I ask people about it. I almost wish I grew up in that time too. So how many siblings did you have?
I have one brother.
Okay, and older or younger?
He's young. He's 10 months younger.
Okay.
And so we were very close in age, and he was very much a boy and I was very much a girl. So not to stereotype things, but he was very much, you know, kind of the wild child, and I was, you know, just the one that listened mm-hmm. all the time. He didn't always listen to my parents, so sometimes it was just like, okay, we got to deal with Billy.
Oh, that sounds like my brother. And would you say that you have a favorite childhood memory that sticks out to you?
Probably just the favorite part of it is not real one memory, but that growing up in nature and being surrounded by such beauty really has stuck with me mm-hmm. over my life.
And do you return to that area often or no?
I haven't been back for a couple years. My parents are gone, but my brother and friends still live in the area. So I'm hoping to go back this summer. I've been back every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so kind of talking more high school, what did the typical Saturday night in high school look like for you?
I think I'm probably different than today.
Yeah.
But we had a state championship wrestling team at my high school, so a lot of wrestling matches.
Yeah.
And in the winter, snowmobiling in the mountains, just Saturday night, Friday night, Saturday night, just taking the snowmobiles and going with my friends and getting lost in the mountains.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, sometimes hanging out with friends. Mm-hmm. So pretty chill, really.
No, but that sounds awesome, the snowmobiling in the mountains. And did you have a job when you were growing up?
So I did some babysitting when I was growing up. And then I also, during the summer, worked at a Bavarian beer festival.
Really? That's great.
So I grew up in sort of there were a lot of Germans in the area, and my father was Pennsylvania Dutch or Pennsylvania German, and there was a beer festival that lasted like 3 weeks. And so
have fun.
As soon as I could, I started working there, and started out waiting tables and then moved on to being a bartender.
Fun. Do you have any interesting stories from that time working there?
Just, you know, it was just fun. Like, I think the big takeaway was the music. Yeah. There was a lot of polka music and that kind of thing. And it was just a fun party.
Yeah.
That, you know, I kind of watched from the, mm-hmm. I kind of watched, watched it unfold, but, it was a blast.
Wow. That's awesome. I did not see that coming. So to kind of wrap up this section, obviously we've been talking about your upbringing, your childhood. What would you say was the greatest thing that your parents taught you?
I thought about this a little bit because my mom passed away when I was 22. But throughout my life, I think the big thing that my parents taught me was to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry about your mom. So then where did you go for undergrad and what made you decide to go there? Talking about college.
So this is a little crazier than what I see students doing now, visiting colleges and things like that. I went to Millersville University in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. So it was a couple hours from my house, and it was in the midst of Amish country in eastern Pennsylvania. And I went to school there because one of my high school teachers suggested I go there. And so I applied to one school. I got in, I went there, hadn't even visited campus, and that's
that?
That was that.
Wow, you had a lot of faith in that teacher. So then what was your first reaction when you got to campus then for the first time?
I really had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know what dorms looked like. I didn't, you know, none of that, but I had intended to be a German major.
Okay.
And because I really liked German in high school, mm-hmm. and I loved my teacher, and I was good at it. And so I opted to live on a floor with foreign language majors.
Oh, interesting.
And so all of us were majoring in some foreign language, German, French.
Yeah.
Mainly German or French. But I ended up living on this floor with other foreign language majors and made lifetime friends. And, you know, we would practice our language skills. We would watch Monty Python. We would, you know, hang out together. And so it really eased me into the college experience being with other people that had the same interests as I did and helped me ease into college.
Yeah. So that did end up being your major, German language, or did you change?
So I changed my major from German to English.
Okay.
Because the other teacher that influenced me encouraged me with writing. And so throughout my life, I've used my German skills and my French skills. But I realized when I took French, I wasn't that good at it. I actually flunked my first French class, the only class I ever flunked. But I passed it the next time.
Yeah, okay.
I can still speak a little French. But I changed my major to English because I also enjoyed writing and started taking some creative writing courses and things like that and transformational grammar classes. And we had a professor that brought speakers into our English classes, brought authors in, which was really fun. Sylvia Plath was one of the authors that I met.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it was a good decision. And yet I still used everything I took at the beginning in the German and French classes throughout my life, actually.
Wow. Your whole life?
Yeah.
Pretty much? Yeah. Wow. So you could speak German right now?
Yeah.
Do you want to say? Do you want to say something?
Ich weiß nicht, was ich might sprechen.
I have no clue what you said. That's great, though. So do you have any favorite college memories that stick out to you?
You know, it was all very, very wonderful. I had some really good friends. I think the things that stick out are I joined an outdoor club, and so we were sitting right near the Appalachian Trail. And so I did a lot of hiking on the Appalachian Trail in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Virginia. And so a lot of hiking, a lot of rock climbing, a lot of nature things, caving, spelunking. And I guess the other memory is going to Austria.
Wow.
So I did, some friends and I went on this ski trip to Austria, but we didn't really plan to ski. We just decided to go.
But you phrased it as a ski trip.
But it was a ski trip. But I think the whole trip, like including airfare, was $500.
Oh my gosh.
I found the paperwork one day. So I thought, you know, I'm really glad I did that when I was young, because now it would not be that amount of money.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy.
But it was so much fun, and I was the only one on the trip that could speak German, so I helped people buy things on the trip, and we ate well.
Yeah.
we just had the best time. And so, you know, between the outdoor thing and the trip to Austria, and then I loved all my classes, just lots of good memories.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. And what year did you end up graduating?
1979.
Okay. And then did you go to Ball State immediately after?
Yes.
And what went into that decision? How did you find Ball State? That whole thing.
So I got married, and my husband at the time was starting his master's program at Ball State. And so we moved to Indiana, the flattest place in the world,
Muncie.
I thought.
You know I'm from Muncie, yes. Right? Yeah.
So I thought it was like the flattest place in the world.
Oh, and, I'm sure.
You know, moving from eastern Pennsylvania. And I eventually found mountains in Indiana, or hills.
Yeah.
But we moved there. And my last class for my bachelor's degree, in my last semester, I took a photography class.
Okay.
I had taken pictures all my life, but I didn't realize how much I loved it until I took that class.
Mm-hmm.
And so the professor in the class one day said, you can make twice as much money taking pictures and writing.
Oh, so that's perfect.
And I thought, you know what? I love this. I love to write. And I landed at Ball State, where they had a photojournalism program.
Yeah.
And I applied to be a graduate assistant. They didn't take me that year. I was offered a graduate assistantship in the English department. I decided, you know what? That's not really what I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to hang on. And so the second year of the program, I was a graduate assistant. But I started that degree because I had fallen in love with photography.
Yeah.
And so I combined both of those, and it changed my life.
Yeah. So how long was that program?
I was there 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And did you continue living in Muncie after that program was done, or?
When I finished, by that time I had gotten divorced.
Okay.
And I had a child, and so I had my son, and so I had rented a U-Haul, and I was moving back to Pennsylvania, not knowing what I was going to do. No plans.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't applied for jobs. I didn't have a portfolio, really.
Yeah.
Had no clue.
Yeah.
And I got a call from the Department of Natural Resources, and they were looking for someone who could write and take pictures. And the head of the journalism department recommended me. I was the only one that he felt could do both and was graduating.
Wow.
And so I didn't really have a portfolio. I went on the interview thinking, okay, fine, I'll practice.
Yeah.
And I got the job.
Wow. So that was your first job?
That was my first job working as photographer for the Department of Natural Resources.
Wow. And where is that located?
I was in downtown Indianapolis.
Okay.
And wrote press releases, did photography, traveled around Indiana. That's how I got to know Indiana.
The area, yeah.
I had a vehicle and a camera, and I traveled around the state and took pictures.
Wow. That's amazing. How old would your son have been at that time?
He would have been like two when that happened.
Oh, wow. Like, so how was that juggling, like raising him and...
It was a little crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But, you know, he kept me going, and he was a good little buddy. He didn't always travel with me, but he was just a joy. He was a fun child, never complained about anything. And as he got older, he could carry my tripod. And
yeah. Oh, man. So... How long did you work with them?
So I worked there for 4 years.
Okay. And then you worked as a freelance photographer after that, right?
So the whole time, from the time I finished school at Ball State, I was a freelance photographer. And
okay.
I still am today.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I tend to always have 3 or 4 jobs right now. I think I have 4, if you include freelance photography.
Oh my gosh.
So, after I left DNR, I took a job at the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy as a training officer.
Oh, wow.
So I trained police officers for 7 years.
What made you get into that? That's, I did not see that coming either.
Surprise, Lexi.
Yeah, wow, you're just full of surprises.
So during my time at DNR, I started working with conservation officers on some of their evidence photography.
Yeah.
And realized that I really enjoyed working with law enforcement and, you know, helping them catch the bad guys. One of my least favorite illegal activities is poaching. In fact, I just wrote an article earlier this year and won a little award for it about poaching.
Okay.
Because I don't agree with illegally taking wild animals and things. So I had an opportunity to interview for a job at the Law Enforcement Academy. And I thought, well, I didn't really have a really good interview experience when I started at DNR because I feel like I was kind of given the job. So I thought, well, I'm gonna practice my interview skills just to see what happens. And the one question they asked me, and apparently asked other people, was, have you ever been to a class or workshop where you haven't learned anything? And I was the only one that said no to that, because I think there's always something to learn. And the other guy, who was kind of the shoe-in, said, I go to things all the time and never learn anything. And
it's kind of a dumb answer.
But... And I didn't know that at the time. I found this out several years later. But I got the job. And so I developed a curriculum and taught 3 different levels of photography classes to law enforcement officers from around the state, trained police chiefs in public relations and working with the media, and then learned video at the time so that I could teach a video class to law enforcement officers.
Oh my goodness. So how long did you do that, you said?
So I was there 7 years.
7 years. Wow. And that was in Indiana too?
That was in Plainfield.
Plainfield. Okay, so close to
DePaul.
And then is that how you ended up at DePaul after that, or did you go somewhere else after?
So at the time I met my second husband.
Okay. All right.
And he was working in Terre Haute, and so we got married and ended up moving to Greencastle. Again, no plan. You know, I continued at the Law Enforcement Academy and then had my daughter. And then at some point I just decided I was going to quit my job and maybe, you know, substitute teach or something.
Yeah.
And I had a friend who worked at DePaul, who I met through Gobin Church here on campus.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, there's a job open in the music school that would just be perfect for you. And I said, I'm going on vacation. And I went to Pennsylvania for 2 weeks and I came back and he said, that job's still open. And I said, okay, I'll take my resume in. And I took my resume in, and the woman said, well, we're not taking things, but I'll take your stuff anyway. And so I got hired.
I feel like this is a constant, like a common trend for you.
It's a theme in my life. And, you know, I feel like I followed breadcrumbs and they've worked out. Yeah. And so I worked for the music school for a year, and then the university photographer died, and Mary Rector. And so I applied for the university photographer job and did that.
Yeah.
And then I kept running into these great students that were working at WGRE, the DePaul, D3TV, media fellows. And I had an opportunity to come work here in the building in 2002. And I thought, you know what? I really like working with these young people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it. And so I quit the university photographer job and came here to the PCCM.
Wow. So that's like a pretty amazing story of how you got here. Since you have been here for, 20 years now?
20 years.
20 years. So do you have any favorite stories or moments from your time working here at DePaul?
You know, every day is different, and every student is different.
Mm-hmm.
And I just enjoy the energy I get from 18 to 22-year-olds.
Yeah.
So I feel like every student is a story. You know, you're a story getting to know the fact that your grandfather is Bill Lynch, whose number I have in my, whose cell phone number I have in my phone.
Yeah.
Randomly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just interesting seeing students from the first time I meet them to seeing what they go off and do with their lives, and then how I can call someone or email someone and love the fact that they'll still respond after 20 years.
Yeah, it's pretty special.
So it's just every student is different, and I love every single one of them for themselves.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what do you think is the most important part about working with young people, being a professor, like assistant director as you are?
You know, I see parents drop their children off here the first day of school. And I feel that being entrusted with young lives is a high calling.
Mm-hmm.
I watch parents drive away crying. I watch parents drive away celebrating.
Just the whole thing.
You know, I remember leaving my children at college and thinking, you know, like, letting them go, you know, like letting them test their wings, letting them fly.
Yeah.
And so those moments are some of the most important moments when the parent turns their child over to me and the university. But I feel like I'm a part of that, and I feel like that's a high calling. And so everything else falls in line behind that. That's what I feel every day when I come to work.
Mm-hmm.
That high calling.
Yeah. And what has teaching/advising young people taught you?
Well, it's sort of been a theme in my life that, you know, even as I got older, there's always something to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep learning from all of you every single day. Sarah Russell introduced me to Mary Oliver. Taylor Zartman introduced me to music that I needed to know through her show on WGRE.
Mm-hmm.
So I learn a lot, and then I ask students a lot of questions, and I think it's important. I've learned that it's important to ask questions of students to help them learn about themselves and learn what makes them happy. So a question I like to ask is, what makes you happy? And that comes from Taylor Zartman, actually, because she'll ask me what's made me happy today, and that has grown into me asking students questions like, when they don't know what they want to do for an internship, like, what makes you happy? What are you passionate about? What do you see yourself doing in 10 years in your life, you know? And and maybe that internship isn't what they're going to do with the rest of their life, but it's going to be part of their foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to ask a lot of questions, and I think teaching and advising has taught me to ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And so you also, just in one of your many jobs, write for the Indiana Office of Tourism Development. How did you get started doing this, and what do you enjoy about it?
So again, a random thing. my editors knew somebody who knew somebody who knew my girlfriend here in town, and they didn't know how to get a hold of me. And so my girlfriend called me one day and said, these people are trying to get a hold of you. Give them a call.
Yeah.
And so I set up an interview with them on the phone. They were looking for someone from West Central Indiana who could write and take pictures.
Yep. You're the woman.
And like to go out and do things. And so they had seen my stuff on Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook. So they had
done their research.
They had done their research. And so we had an interview, and what caught their attention was I had been telling students to keep their LinkedIn profile updated, and I thought, I need to look at mine. And so I looked at my LinkedIn profile, and I thought, well, I can put a picture behind in that blue area up at the top.
Yeah, the like background, yeah.
And I put a picture there, and 2 weeks later, these people found that because I had updated my LinkedIn profile.
That's funny. Oh, my gosh.
On a whim. So they just told me, they asked me to write about what my girlfriends and I like to do. And so I thought, well, who's doing some fun stuff? And my friend Joanna, who I had kept tight in touch with over the years, but not in a close way. We never did anything, just the two of us together. Mm. I thought, she's doing some fun stuff. She's out fishing. The picture that kind of sparked my interest was she was somewhere and there was a donkey chewing at the collar of her sweatshirt. And
oh, I thought, gosh.
I'm going to call her. I know she's fun.
Uh-huh.
I know that her husband lets her go do stuff.
Yeah.
Because my other girlfriends didn't do anything without their husbands.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. Yeah.
So I called her and I said, and we had lunch and I said, do you want to go on adventures with me? And so that has grown into 4 years of adventures, stories, exploring, getting lost, growing our friendship. And I just like all the variety of things that she's willing to do with me and that I'm willing to do with her. And
yeah.
And we get home at the end of the day.
Uh-huh.
That's our goal.
So what of those adventures, what's been your favorite one?
You know, really, it's just the favorite things are when we get lost and have no idea where we are and find amazing things. Like a little log cabin surrounded by all these farm implements that, you know, you can go in this little cabin and it's like out in the middle of nowhere and you can sign the guest book and see,
yeah.
See where people have lived.
Oh my gosh.
You know, or finding a new covered bridge that we hadn't been to before, or a new iron bridge or something. And we're both, she's a photographer as well. So it's always like, you know, she has a different eye than I do. And so it's just mm-hmm. fun. It's just fun finding things when we're lost.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the best way to put it.
No, that, I like that though too.
And meeting random people that, yeah.
Yeah, that you'd not expect to meet. So then, obviously, you've done so much with your career. What's your best, like, career advice that you would give to students who are about to enter the workforce?
Well, I keep saying that the world is crazy right now, and in some ways it is, but I guess my best advice is to say, don't be discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Follow your passion and find what you love, and you'll never work a day in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt this, like, feeling of, oh, I have to go to work. I get up every day and I'm excited about whatever it is that is going to unfold that day mm-hmm. because I never know.
Yeah.
And I feel like even in all the craziness, there's a beauty to the world today. And the students that I meet here do have the foundation to go out and change the world.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's little ways, maybe it's big ways, but whatever it is, don't be discouraged.
Mm-hmm. And then how many kids do you have? Do you just have two?
I have two children.
Okay, and what are their names?
Peter and Sarah.
Okay, and do you have any particularly funny stories from when they were little that you'd want to share?
They've just been fun children. They both grew up around nature and photography, and so they've both grown up appreciating nature, using photography in their jobs,
mm-hmm.
Even though it wasn't an official part of their jobs.
Wow.
And they were just, I don't have any particular stories.
Yeah,
they were just fun to watch them grow up and mm-hmm. become big humans. And now they have their own little humans. I have three grandchildren.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So now it's fun to watch them taking their children out in nature,
yeah.
and their children picking up cameras.
Following in your footsteps, yeah.
Not going to lie, I'm loving that.
Yeah, I bet you do. Oh my gosh. So then, what lesson did you stress the most to your kids when they were growing up? I know we talked about the biggest thing that your parents taught you, but what would you say you've tried to get your kids to learn the most over the years?
I hope I've taught them to respect other people
mm-hmm.
and to follow their passion. And my son is a chef, and he found that passion when he was about 12. And, you know, that's been fun to watch. I think my daughter's still discovering some things for herself, but she's has a happy life and enjoying her child. And
mm-hmm.
so I think they've grown up to be happy adults that can make other people happy as well.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think is the most rewarding part about being a parent?
I think some of it, I think one of the important things is just to give them roots and then give them wings. Give them a solid foundation, and then not be attached at the hip when they become adults. Let them fly on their own, be there to support them, and just let them grow into their own person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what would the Marilyn of today tell herself as a young mother? So if you could go back and give yourself a piece of advice.
Don't take things so seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so we're moving on to the last section. You've done great. I knew you would. But what event in history has had the biggest impact on you?
So these are going to be a little crazy.
Okay. It's all right. I love it.
Jesus and the Vietnam War.
Okay.
Okay. They're not connected, but yeah, they are connected. So, you know, I grew up going to church.
Yeah.
And continue to feel the presence of something other in my life. Mm-hmm. I am also a pastor at a small local church.
Okay. Where?
On the Park Putnam County line.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I have my own little congregation of 35 people.
Oh my goodness, I didn't know that. I would go if I knew.
So it's a small country church, but somehow or another, I have always felt the presence of something leading me in all these things and being very blessed, even though, you know, I haven't been given a lot in my life other than strength. And so learning about the life of Jesus and caring for other people and loving people has really had an impact on my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to be that person who cares for others and loves everyone. And then I think the Vietnam War, you know, I watched that unfolding as I was in high school.
Yeah.
And I realized that peace is really important. And, you know, I watched people come back from the war. And it was just, you know, I watched Woodstock happen in New York. And, you know, I wasn't there, but it wasn't that far away. And I knew it was happening. I was aware. And so I think just getting a foundation of it, you know, led me to pay attention to politics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like I'm paying attention and not really liking what I'm seeing right now.
No, but yeah,
it's really scary right now. But I think that watching the Vietnam War made me pay more attention to things outside of myself.
Mm-hmm.
That has been a theme throughout my life.
Yeah. And as you look back on your life, who are the people who have impacted or influenced you the most?
So my parents, being solid, strong people, neither one of them grew up having an easy life. And so the life that they made for my brother and I was, I think, important to them for their lives to be more full and not as chaotic as it was when they were growing up. Although they grew up out in the country and brought that into the family. And then my grandmothers were both single grandmothers, and just their strength and their, you know, reminding me to follow the golden rule and teach, you know, treat people like I want to be treated.
Yeah.
was influential. And then I met Professor Nafat Nasser here.
Okay.
And he retired several years ago and passed away this past year. But I got to know him and his wife and his family, and they have been instrumental in influencing my life and helping me see even bigger pictures of, you know, politics. And Nafat founded the conflict studies department here, and they survived the war in Beirut and
wow,
lived through war. And so their stories about war and survival have really had an impact on me. And then also the spirituality that I experienced with them of, you know, well, I say that when I visited with Nafat and Nadia when they lived here in town, we would sit in their living room and travel the cosmos.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about everything.
Everything.
So they have been, since I lost my mom when I was 22, and, you know, my dad passed away around the time I was starting work here, they have become family to me, and their goodness and generosity and humility have really influenced me in my life.
Mm-hmm. And then do you have a favorite memory or time period of your life?
You know, I talk to my girlfriend Phyllis about this a lot. She lives back where I grew up, and I grew up with her, and she ran around in the mountains with me, and we knew each other's parents, and we talk all the time, and sometimes we just say to each other, we had an idyllic childhood. And so I think that part of my life, running around in the mountains, finding old dumps where we dug for bottles and, you know, found antique bottles, and just had no concept of time. It was just, we had an idyllic childhood. And so I think that that was the time of my life that laid a beautiful foundation and led me to the point I am now, where I'm feel like I'm actually living my best life.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that. And do you regret anything?
You know, I regret that I didn't get to know my mom better, because we sort of, you know, I think when you're young, you think your parents are going to be around forever. And so I regret that. You know, I regret a little bit having to work when my children were growing up, but I think they're fine. So
yeah,
I'm not going to regret that a whole lot.
Yeah. And what advice would you give to my generation?
So I think the one thing that I would say is to travel.
Okay.
Travel as much as you can before you start a job. Mm-hmm. I don't know how quickly you're starting your job.
I'm actually going to Europe in June. So
yes.
I start my job July 5th. So.
Okay. So I would say travel and, you know, pay attention to the little things in life, because sometimes it's the little things that are really the important things. And be brave and be kind.
Yeah. And then what do you believe is the most important thing in life?
I think the important thing that I have found is to, I think it's to listen. Because if we don't listen to others, we can't learn about them. Mm-hmm. And we can't live in a bubble. The world has gotten smaller. And if we're not willing to listen to other voices, we're not going to grow. And I just really think listening is key to a lot of things in life. I have a book called 7,000 Ways to Listen. Oh. And it's just fascinating. Mm-hmm. and that can lead to, you know, learning things that you never expected to learn.
Mm-hmm. And the final question, what do you hope to be remembered by?
I hope I'm remembered by being kind. Mm-hmm. If I have nothing else on my tombstone, I just wanted to say she was kind.
Mm-hmm. Well, you definitely will be remembered by much more than that, but being kind for sure. And then I will ask you one more question. What's made you happy today? I kind of want to do a little twist.
Actually, seeing you walk into the office when I was talking to Larry made me happy.
Oh.
The smile on your face, the new job, Larry sitting there in his pink shirt.
Yeah.
Caring, loving, respectful, passionate. Marilyn Kohler is all of these things and so much more. She grew up in nature and thoroughly enjoys it to this day. The vibe Marilyn gives off to others reflects this. Calm, cool, full of wonder, surprising us all with the individual stories she shares from her life. It's the little things in life which have caught her attention, both literally and through the lens of her camera. Marilyn tells us to listen, for you never know what you can learn by doing so, she says. Marilyn has dedicated the later years of her life to the higher calling that is mentoring young adults, and says that she truly feels as though she is living her best life. If anything, she will undoubtedly be remembered by the kindness she exemplifies daily to each person she encounters. I feel blessed to have had the opportunity to know her.
Well, this has made me happy. Thank you so much for doing this, though. I enjoyed it.
You're welcome. This was a delight.
You've lived an interesting life. I feel like each step was like, came out of nowhere, but it was...
There's more to come.
Self-serving. Yeah, exactly.
There's more to come.
Who knows what next job you'll have.